Welcome to Bare Roots,
the podcast that unearths the truth.
Allegedly.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina.
And I'm Shannon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bare Roots. Today, we are on our final spooky season episode. So, unfortunately, fun has to end, has to come to a close. And maybe I'm looking forward to it. I don't know. I know Shannon isn't, but we got three episodes in. So we hope you guys enjoyed the first two, but we got to finish it off with some scary stories. And today we're about to embark on the journey of Charleston's specific scary stories. Shannon, how are you feeling today?
Feeling good. Now, just because of timing, this episode is trickling into November, which I know some people might say that's not spooky season, but we're just going to let the spirit live on a little bit longer because we're on this bi-weekly schedule. So we had to at least have three episodes. Like, we couldn't not have three episodes.
Exactly. There's too much content for us not to.
And at the end of September, Alina and I and our other friend Peyton went to Charleston as a little girls' trip. And we got inspired by the historic city. And we actually went on, you can guess who recommended this activity. We went on a ghost walk and it was a lot of fun. It had a dramatic end.
It did. It was memorable.
Memorable, very memorable. One of these stories is actually from that ghost walk, and then the other one was upon further research when we got back. So we're going to go through two stories tonight centered in Charleston, South Carolina.
Exactly. So basically, you guys can think of it as Shannon and I went on a business trip for Bare Roots to get some content, and we're happy to deliver some of that.
Right. We're we're expensing the travel costs.
Exactly. With our ad spends and revenue.
With all of our revenue.
With all of it. Thank you guys for keeping the lights on. We appreciate you. What did you think of the ghost tour? How did you feel about it?
So first and foremost, the tour guide, it was immediately apparent that he was a theater major immediately.
And it's funny, it wasn't until you said that I was like, yes, immediately can confirm he was definitely a theater nerd.
And I did ask him later on and he did actually confirm that assumption. So
yes,
we love that.
Let's dive into why we thought that.
He was just, you know, very, very dramatic. He had that voice. He changed his voices. He, at one point, threw himself on the ground, reenacting a scene. Yeah, very, very, very theatric. Lots of different voices. And he would kind of pick on different people in the group.
Yeah.
But some parts were cheesy, but some parts were hilarious. And I also just appreciated his passion.
Yes, I loved his humor. I feel like we were the only ones laughing and getting the jokes because it was my type of humor where it was dark, subtle, so dry. Like, you really had to listen in order to just get it that was something he was joking about, because everyone else was like dead silent. Like,
yeah,
didn't pick up on it, nothing. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy's hilarious.
I just remember, like, you were laughing so quietly. You just bent over at one point and then that made me laugh more.
I couldn't stop it. I'm like, oh my God. And I would like replay the joke. Yeah. I'm like, that's just so funny. And he would just slip it in so perfectly in his theatrical storytelling. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just like the type of humor I really, really appreciate. And like, that's the kind of humor I have, but no one gets it. No one can pick up on it. So it was just so good.
He was good. So basically the ghost walk, he brought us around to different sites, and the long weekend that we spent in, well, yeah, the 4 days that we spent in Charleston were unseasonably rainy and like, very unseasonably rainy. Every Uber car we got into, the driver was like, oh, Charleston is never like this. It never rains from sun up to sundown. We're like, ha, 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 thanks.
For multiple days.
And we all bought umbrellas and we brought them on the ghost walk because we were scarred.
Yeah, it was more of like insurance policy. Like yeah. That's how, and I really didn't think we were going to need it, but I was like, it's that one case where if you don't bring it, then that is when it's going to rain.
Right. And the last stop on the tour was at a graveyard, a cemetery. And as we were walking along by to get into the cemetery, I was like, Ladia, I can't believe it's so nice. It hasn't even started to rain. Yep. And then right as I thought that, it started to sprinkle. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like, that is fine.
Yep.
We turn into the wrought iron gates of the cemetery. We're walking and it's dark. You know, like this is at night. Mm-hmm. And then it starts raining. It's like actually raining at this point. And then we get to the site in the graveyard that we're supposed to be at. And it just dumps rain.
Hardcore. It is like just bullets of raindrops going onto our umbrellas. And we were the only three that had the umbrellas. Everybody else were just quote unquote taking cover underneath the tree. But that was definitely not doing anything given the amount of rain that was coming from the sky. Oh, and on top of this, okay, I just need to paint the scene. Not only is it downpouring, right, people, it is thundering lightning. There's a full moon. We're standing in the middle of a graveyard listening to scary ghost stories. And the only reason why I kind of enjoyed the rain was because I couldn't hear him. The rain was just that loud. I'm like, I can't hear him, so I can't hear this scary story in the scene that we are in where it's thundering and lightning, it's a full moon, and we're in a graveyard.
Yeah. At a certain point, he just gave up because it was just so bad. Yeah. And it was puddles in your shoes mm-hmm. kind of rain. And so we all ran from the graveyard. He didn't get to finish his story. And we ran and ran and the big group left. There was a big family that was huddling under the tree and they all left. And I felt so bad for him because he did such a good job and he was going to miss out on these tips because everybody ran away at the end. But by the time we got to the sidewalk, it had slowed down and there were a few stragglers. And he just kind of pathetically said, do you guys want to hear the end of that story?
Yeah. Well, there was one woman who did come back. She like ran back and gave him a tip.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then she was like, thank you. And then she was like, gotta go.
Gotta go.
Like, ran back to wherever. To
So we did hear all the stories. We were just dripping wet by the end of it.
Yes. Honestly, I was kind of glad it was a full moon just because of the light. I couldn't imagine doing going into the graveyard specifically where it's so dark and you mm-hmm. really can't see anything.
And the brick pathways are all uneven, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that was a very dramatic end to our Charleston trip.
Yeah. That was the last night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And it was a late walk too. I think we got home like a little past 11:30. So. And we had gone the whole day with sun too.
Yeah. Yep. That was the only day.
Everything we had wanted to accomplish that day, like we got it done. It was just that one ending. And it's just like, of course, the one time that we're here, it has to down part the hardest, you know, while we're out.
Yeah. Charleston had to say goodbye to us.
Exactly.
Via downpour.
Yep. So, but we learned a lot. And we'll start diving into the stories. And so Charleston's very interesting because it's really considered one of the most haunted destinations in America. There's some good stories that we have picked out for you all to hear. And the first one is about Charleston's Old City Jail, which is said to have housed South Carolina's first female serial killer. We never got to go by, did we?
No, we didn't actually get to the Old City Jail.
Yeah. So this is a very spooky place because back in 1802, Charleston had an Old City Jail, and this housed a bunch of different criminals. And it's kind of fun because we learned a little bit about the history. So mm-hmm. it hosted prisoners of the Civil War and pirates. So I'm picturing like Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, mm-hmm. And many of those people who were in the jail cells had died. So this story is in particular to a woman named Lavinia Fisher. Would you say it's Lavina? Lavina?
It's Lavinia.
Lavinia?
That's what I
would I'm going to call her Lav in the story because it's a lot of syllables. And as I said, she's considered South Carolina's first serial killer. Some say even America's first female serial killer.
Hmm.
But definitely not an amazing person. You know, bad.
Bad reputation there.
Very bad. So she appeared to have lived a pretty normal life. Her and her husband, John, operated an inn, and it was called the 6 Mile Wayfarer House. And this inn was notorious for being the hangout area for gang members and outlaws. And remember, this is, what, 1800? So it's like, we got a little crime, you know? It's a little bit of a Wild West out there.
Mm-hmm.
And its location made it the prime stopping point for businessmen and tradesmen who were en route to and from their business trips. So a lot of people were just going in and out of this inn.
And it's literally 6 miles from Charleston. That's why it's called the 6 Mile House.
Mm-hmm. And the Fishers, so they came up with a game plan to steal from people to make some money because they were just fueled by greed. So Lev was considered beautiful and alluring, and she really knew how to get the men to notice her. So this really helped her out in getting all of these wealthy men to go to her inn, and she would make sure they felt comfortable, safe, and at ease at this place. But little did they know that this was going to possibly be the ending to their whole trip, because it was during their time there that they would spike their guests' tea with poison, where it would make them drowsy and they would simply get so tired that they would want to go in their room. And this is the point where John would come in, and he would essentially go in their room and steal any valuables or cash that they were traveling with. And to ensure that they didn't get caught, what's the best thing to do? You gotta kill them. So they would apparently stab them to death. On other occasions, people said that they would have their guest beds literally in a pit where they would just fall down into the cellar, and they would just die and whatnot, and they were never to be found again.
Yeah, that's pretty elaborate. It's the bed collapse into a pit of spikes. Okay, yep. Cool. Yep.
Or, you know, stabbed to death.
Mm-hmm. Either way, you're getting stabbed to death, I guess.
Yeah, it's one way to go. So it's like, dang, all for some jewels, you know, for some cash. And to me, it's really interesting because it seemed to have taken a little bit of time for people to start putting two and two together.
Right.
And so after hearing a lot of reports of crime surrounding the 6 Mile House, there was a group that went to put a stop to it in February of 1819. So a group came in, and they wanted to end the gambling and the reported robbings of these people that are passing through. So I'm picturing like a really dangerous area, right? And one member of this group was a man named David Ross. And the group felt that they were successful in stopping the activity and returned to Charleston. However, they really wanted to continue to surveillance the area. So they left Ross behind to keep an eye on things. Kind of like a little private investigator, you know, he's like undercover. So
you leave one guy, seems bad. Yeah. Seems like a bad decision.
Like, haven't they ever heard of the buddy system?
Yeah. Why do you leave one?
Exactly. Where's your co-pilot? So what happened to him was kind of like the beginning of essentially taking down John and Lev. So the people that Ross was supposed to be watching ended up attacking him. Yeah, poor guy. And
as you would expect.
As you expect, exactly. Probably smelt a rat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was desperately looking for Lav for help, and he was shocked by her response. So instead of coming to his aid, she strangled him and slammed his head through a window pane. And, you know, to his response, he was very quick and he was able to escape and alert the authorities back in Charleston. Like, there's some crazy woman who lives there. So that evening, a guy named John Pebbles came to stay at the 6 Mile house. And Lab initially turned him away and claimed that there was no room available, but that he was welcome to come in for a rest. So he went inside and accepted her offer of tea to be polite. But the thing about John Pebbles, I think I said Pebbles earlier, but I think it's Pebbles. He hated tea, but of course he wants to be, you know, a proper Southern gentleman, wants to be polite. So when Lav wasn't looking, he poured it into a houseplant. And they began chatting, and the Fishers couldn't understand why the tea wasn't working. And so John was growing impatient and frustrated with the whole situation, while Lav just continued to make attempts to stall and chit-chat. So finally, out of desperation, Lav changed her tune and said that the room was indeed available. So Peebles wearily agreed to stay at the inn for that night. Although something was telling him something felt off, and it's a good thing that his instincts started kicking in, because that led him to possibly honestly saving his life. So instead of sleeping on the bed, Peebles chose to sleep in a wooden chair near the bedroom door to be kind of like more alert of John and Lav, like what's going on, because again his intuition was speaking to him. So then he was awoken loudly during the middle of the night when he saw that his bed had descended into the floor through a trap door. He was so shocked by this. I mean, imagine if this is true, that your bed just boop, like falls down.
Terrifying.
So scary. So right after that, he quickly fled out through the window and he jumped on his horse, which I just feel like is like a magical scene. Like, he's just like out the
house. All right, come on, gunpowder, let's go.
Like, let's do this. So he rode away. And then, of course, he let authorities know. So basically, with his situation and then the case of David Ross, the police were kind of on them, and this led for the authorities to really investigate this couple. So they were arrested shortly after on February 18th, 1819. They searched their property and found evidence of the disappeared men. And so they were brought to sit in the Charleston jail to await trial. So at their trial, John and Lav were basically saying, hey, we didn't do this. We're innocent. And they denied any wrongdoing. However, the jury didn't buy into it. But because of the lack of evidence, the Fishers couldn't be found guilty of murder, which is just kind of scary to me, thinking about, okay, if you did kill a bunch of people, where did you put the bodies? How did you get away with it? I'm just thinking of scent as well. And it's like, you own an inn, I feel like people wouldn't want to stay there because it smells so bad. But then again, it's in a bad area. So I don't know. But they were found guilty because they had a bunch of valuables in their home. So they were easily convicted of highway robbery. And at the time, it was considered a capital offense. So they were sentenced to death by hanging. And on the day where they were sentenced to die, John was actually pretty remorseful about the whole situation. But Lav was a little crazy and a little creepy. And she wore her wedding dress, and you know, before she went to go get hung, and they probably said, like, do you have any last words, whatever, she started laughing uncontrollably and shouted, if you have a message to send to the devil, give it to me and I'll carry it.
Yikes.
So even though they technically weren't prosecuted and committed for murder, they definitely got in trouble for the robbery. But I don't know, it's just like a little suspicious to me.
Yeah. And so she's in the city jail, yep, haunting it from this point on.
Exactly. And again, there's just been so many people at that jail. So they said it's like a very, very spooky place that right. passed away.
Lots of activity.
Yes. I think I saw too that this place, this old city jail, was a place that a lot of shows that do like all of the paranormal stuff, they always make a pit stop there.
Oh, okay.
And it has a lot of activity. So yeah, I don't know. It's just, I think what makes the story so scary is the craziness of her and like that, her last words, and just the fact that they were so, if this all ended up being true with the whole poison thing,
mm-hmm,
so calculated. Ooh, like it just, just sends chills up your back.
Yeah, no, and it's amazing that they were able to do it for so long without people pinpointing.
Yes, exactly. Do you think they really were innocent? Well, I mean, they clearly were not innocent in the robbery because they were found the evidence of that.
Yeah, no, I think they're definitely guilty. I did see somewhere online that they weren't first a suspect just because they had a lot of friends in Charleston. Like, they were very charming. Mm-hmm. And we're like, no, they can't be. Are you crazy? They can't be killing people over there. Turns out they're mm-hmm. just very manipulative, I guess.
And the beauty, it's like a siren, you know, just luring men into a tag team sort of thing. It's like Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
But of Charleston. So, yeah, I don't know. Charleston is a spooky place.
Lots of crime.
Lots of crime, I know. And I say it was like the Wild West, but it was actually a pretty established state / colony.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, by that point, it was really doing well.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Because it's so old, there's just so many stories.
Right.
So, yeah, that's our first story. But before we share the second one of this episode, we're first going to hear a word from our sponsor. And we are back. All right, Shannon, bring us story number two.
Okay, so story number two is a story of two ghosts, one human and one canine. It's all centered around one location, and that is Pugin's Porch, which is a restaurant. I think, yeah, it's technically in the French Quarter. And we actually went to this restaurant for brunch one day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lovely brunch, had a great time. It's a restaurant that's in a 1888 Victorian home at the address of 72 Queen Street. And it was converted into a restaurant in 1976. So it feels like you're just walking through a house when you go in. We got seated in the back dining room. It's just a nice little house.
Yeah. And I thought it was the perfect spot for us to get brunch. I was like, oh, this is cute. It's so, you know, you can't find this everywhere. People mm-hmm. loved the food. I'm like, oh, this will be amazing.
It's very ironic that you, Alina, found this place and booked the reservation.
I know, literally. And here I am thinking we're going to have a cute girls brunch. Like, what is more girls weekend vibe than a good brunch, you know?
Yeah. And then did you get nervous when we were on the walking tour and we walked close? I was like, oh, I know this place.
Yeah, no, I was like, wait. I'm like, you're telling me that a mere 24 hours ago, we were here.
And now we're here on our ghost walk. Love it. It reminds me, I went on a ghost walk when I was studying abroad in Florence, and we turned down my street that I was living on. I was like, what?
Yeah, like, I'm uncomfy.
I live here. Okay. So Pugin's Porch is named after a dog named Pugin, and he was a little white dog that was either A, left behind by the original homeowners in 1976, or he was the neighborhood stray that wandered to every porch in the area looking for food. So there are two theories. I don't know why we don't have the actual fact, because it was 1976. either or, there was a dog.
It's a cold case.
Either way, this dog needed a home.
Adopt, don't shop.
So the owners of the restaurant took him in. It was like, this poor dog, he needs a home. And again, my other question is, how did they know his name was Pugin? Because they named the restaurant after him, so that makes it sound like he already had a name, but that's fine.
Whatever, we'll let that one go.
So adorably, he served as the official greeter for the restaurant for years until he passed away in 1979. Very sad. There's a portrait of Pugin inside the restaurant that we saw. Mm-hmm. There's actually a whole mural on another building close by with a scene of the porch with Pugin on it. On our ghost walk, the tour guide pointed out that, in fact, Pugin is buried literally right on site, right next to the porch.
You can't miss it. You have to walk on the porch next to his burial. And I don't know how we didn't notice that. Or did you notice that? I don't
know. I absolutely did not notice that prior to the ghost walk. But it is said that sometimes when people are eating on the porch, they can feel a dog's tail hitting their leg, but no dog is there. So Pugin is staying around. Good old Pugin.
Always with us.
I'm realizing now that maybe I should have saved that sweet story for the end and not in the beginning. So we're going to end on a scary note.
Bring it, right? Everyone loves a good story.
Everybody needs to be scared when they close out the podcast app after listening to this.
And if you don't, just re-listen to the Pugin story.
Yeah, there you go. Go back to this timestamp. I don't know what it is yet because I haven't edited it yet.
We'll let you know.
We won't let you know.
We're lying.
So Pugin isn't the only ghost that haunts 72 Queen Street. In the early 1900s, a woman named Zoe St. Amand lived at 72 Queen with her sister Elizabeth. Zoe was a local school teacher who, by the neighbors, was thought to be an old spinster, because she wasn't married and she was frequently seen wearing long black dresses and glasses. You know, we all know it. We can visualize it.
We got that visual.
Got that visual. She and her sister, they were kind of recluses. They kept to themselves for decades. They only enjoyed each other's company. But sadly, in 1945, Elizabeth passed away and Zoe became more withdrawn, and her mental health actually declined. One night, Zoe left the house and she began walking down the street, calling out for her sister. And neighbors actually came to try to help her out, and they took her to a local hospital. And she spent the rest of her life in the hospital and is buried in a cemetery in Charleston. So if you couldn't guess, it is believed that Zoe still haunts Pugin's porch, looking for her sister. There are many reports of seeing her, and they actually started right after she died, but they really ramped up after the house became a restaurant. So, you know, she was kind of recluse. Maybe you could say that she didn't like all these strangers in her home. We don't know. Both staff and guests have seen her ghost wandering about the house, and actually some of them didn't even know that she was a ghost because she looked so solid, until they saw her photo on the wall and they're like, we saw that lady.
Yeah, spooky.
And there's actually a hotel across the street, and people that have rooms on that side of the hotel, they have called the police saying that there's somebody up in the restaurant after hours, and the police have said, oh, don't worry about that, that's just Zoe.
That's so crazy.
Great, great, great. So the owner of Pugin's, whose name is Bobby Ball, has had her own experiences with Zoe. And one night when she was closing up for the evening, she was in the process of setting up the alarm. And she was startled when one of the wooden stools suddenly knocked over onto the ground on its own will. And then the door began opening and shutting quite violently.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah, nope. Nope, 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 nope. One of their chefs had an encounter with Zoe as well. The chef was making coffee because it was early morning, and he poured himself a mug and he heard a knock on the back door. So he placed his cup down on the stool because his produce guy was there. And when he went back to let the guy in, he returned and his coffee was missing. It was not on the stool whatsoever. And he thought, you know, it's early morning. Maybe he's losing it. He thought he had made himself a cup of coffee, but maybe he didn't. So he goes and makes himself another cup of coffee. And he returned back to his stool, and his original cup was back there, but it was empty.
Spooky.
And when the chef picked up the mug, he noticed it had a lipstick mark on it.
Oh my God, scary.
Which I'm like, Zoe, you're wearing lipstick? Oh, wow. It really didn't strike me as a lady to have lipstick.
You gotta rock the red, you know?
Yeah. Even if you're just in your house by yourself.
That's right.
Another sighting was by a staff member who was cleaning up, and she kind of got that feeling that there was somebody watching her or somebody behind her, and nobody was ever there. She couldn't shake the feeling. And so she resumed cleaning, and I really hate this. She happened to look into the mirror. She was in the bathroom, and she looked into the mirror and was startled because it wasn't her own reflection she was seeing. It was an old woman wearing wire-thin glasses.
Ugh.
I hate that. I really despise that. I hate that.
I hate that too. No other words need to be spoken of. I hate that.
But luckily, once she spoke, the image of Zoe disappeared from the mirror. Mm-hmm. What do you think you would say? Just scream? Like, what would you say?
I was going to say, I don't know if they're words. I think it would just be emotions of, like, screaming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oof. Imagine your heart just, it would be like miles an hour.
I don't want to.
Just, like, bumping.
Nope.
It's a hard no for me, dog.
Another staff member was there working overnight, which sounds crazy. They have to do all this baking, I guess.
Yeah. It's legit. It's a legit restaurant.
It is. Lots of biscuits.
Lots of biscuits. They're really good.
Yeah. So she was baking and she was listening to music, and she heard a lot of noise coming from upstairs, and it was so loud that she could hear it over her music. So even though it was scary, she ventured upstairs and she searched every inch of the upstairs, but found nothing. Nothing that could have made that kind of noise. Nothing was tipped over. Everything was fine. So she went back down to the kitchen and resumed her baking. After a little bit, she decided to turn the radio back on. One of her favorites came on and she began singing along. And then she suddenly started hearing another voice singing right along with her.
Crazy, I don't like it.
And she turned around expecting one of her coworkers was playing a trick on her, but nobody was there. And it was the middle of the night, the alarm was set. Only staff members have the code to get in. Nobody was there. At that point, she searched the entire restaurant, top to bottom, and didn't find anything out of the ordinary.
See, I don't even know if I would go that far. Like, I don't know.
I would just run.
Yeah, I would. I would clock out, be like, listen, I'm so sorry the biscuits weren't done, but I was not about to search the whole house top to bottom. No, thank you. That's the last thing I want to do. I just want to get out and go home.
Yeah, nope. There's this guy named Ed Macy who's been studying Charleston's haunted stories or haunted history since the 90s. And I think he might have been the author of the book that our tour guide was waving around. Because he has co-authored several books about Charleston's past with ghosts. And when he speaks about Zoe, he says, quote, "To my knowledge, she has been seen well over 200 times, oftentimes in broad daylight, like during brunch hour."
My God.
So, Alina, we might have seen her and we just didn't notice, although I think we would have picked up on a woman in an all-black dress.
I'm trying to think. Were we supposed to have... No, that tour was always going to be on our last night, right? I was trying to think if we ever, because of the weather, we moved it, but no.
We did consider moving it, but yeah.
Yeah. Imagine. I don't know if I would have enjoyed brunch.
You know, I probably wouldn't have either.
Be like, oh my God.
Yeah. No. I just wouldn't be able to work there, I don't think.
That's another thing I'm curious. Like, do you think they say anything when they work there? You know, do you remember the man who worked there? He seemed so friendly. He was so nice. Opening yeah, up the he door. Did. A great manager.
Yeah.
I actually got great vibes there. Yeah. I was like, this lovely place. I had only wished it wasn't raining. We can maybe enjoy our little outdoor, little courtyard area.
Yeah. No, at least like maybe do the morning shift, even though she can't. It's just less scary if it's in the morning and you see her walking in the hallway, like, fine. Yeah. A-okay. Yeah. But if you're singing along with me and it's the dead of night, I'm going to have problems. I'm going to have issues.
I'm going to have traumatic issues.
Traumatic issues. And I'm going to have to put in my leave.
Yep. And I'm not even going to give you 2 weeks. You don't get that out of me.
Yeah, no, I can't.
For personal reasons, I just can't. I'm so sorry. Appreciate it. Love it. But deuces.
Deuces. Yeah, so we can totally recommend to eat at Pugin's Porch. Just keep an eye out for a dog or a woman in black. It's really up to you. You can not keep an eye out and just enjoy your brunch, or you can keep an eye out and be scared.
Yeah. It was a great place to eat. I definitely recommend it. Mm-hmm. Pugin, he was a very cute dog. They have a nice little mural of him.
Yeah.
Cute little white fluffy guy.
Yeah, I'm sure he was great.
Yeah. But yeah, those were the top stories that we wanted to share with you about Charleston and the spookiness of the city. Hopefully you guys can get a chance, if you can, to go visit Charleston. I feel like we're a little promo for them, you know? It was a fun city, though, to explore. I'm definitely glad we got a chance to do it.
Yes, same.
And we got to make a spooky episode out of it.
Yeah. It's a win-win.
Exactly. So hopefully you guys are listening to this, you know, maybe during the day, you know, with your, the lights are on, the windows are open, the sun's pouring through. But this completes this year's spooky season. Until next year.
I'm sure we'll have some spooky episodes between now and then.
I'm sure. We can never stop. But yeah, this concludes today's episode. We hope you guys enjoyed it, and stay tuned for our next episode. We got a good one lined up. So we'll see you guys then. In the meantime, follow us on Instagram at BareRootsPod, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.